Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf Realtors, and I'm with my friend Marty Fulton, formerly of Plantation and Whispering Woods Golf Courses, and a PGA Life member. Marty, my goal has always been to shoot my age.
Sheldon, not a bad goal as long as you live to be over 100.
Yeah, I know. I spend far too much time helping clients sell or buy homes to devote to golf. I'd be lucky to shoot par.
Sheldon, in real estate, you're way above par. That's why people often say when you want the job done, call Sheldon.
Thanks, Marty. People should always talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers when they're thinking of selling, and let me be one of them. They need to hear about my strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option that means the difference in whether they sit or sell. They can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. At 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. And
go Tigers!
Landers Auto Sales. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, that's where you need to go. Right now is the best time to buy a new vehicle for the summer. All those trips you're going to be taking, all those road trips, all those beach trips. No better time right now than to go get a new vehicle. Do it at Landers Auto Sales. They got them all. They got small SUVs, large SUVs, compact cars, luxury cars, trucks, vans, sedans, whatever it is you need. They got you covered out at Landers. If you get down there and they don't happen to have what you want in stock, don't worry. Let them know. They're going to go find it for you. They're located in South Haven on Gilmer Road, or you can visit them on the web, landersmemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Tired of opening your closet and never finding what you want to wear? We can help. Stitch Fix is a personal styling service that matches you with your own stylist. Someone who listens to what you love and delivers the best clothes for you right to your door. With Stitch Fix, you'll get to discover new styles, new brands, and new looks to fit your unique shape and your budget. Discover the stylist and styles that work for you at stitchfix.com. Personal styling for women, men, and kids. stitchfix.com. Personal styling for everybody.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every Tuesday around this time, we talk to Clay Travis. Clay Travis is here with us now. Clay, what's going on, man?
Just living the dream, boys. How about y'all?
Everything is good here in Memphis. We're excited for Ja Morant, who's going to be here in 2 days, or at least his name will be announced in 2 days for the Memphis Grizzlies. So we're excited about that. In terms of the rest of the NBA, though, obviously a massive deal goes down over the weekend. Anthony Davis to the Lakers, Lonzo, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, lots of first-round picks going to New Orleans. What did you think of that deal, Clay?
I thought it's look, I've been talking about this on my show. I thought Jeannie Buss and the Lakers had two options. LeBron's going to be 35 this fall. So you either decide to go all in on LeBron James and the Lakers, or you trade LeBron and decide to continue to build around the young talent that you have. I don't think you can really mix the young talent with LeBron. And so I think they made the decision to try to go and win right now, and it may mortgage the future of the franchise in some ways, as we have seen with the Cleveland Cavaliers and some of the long-term deals that they're locked into now, predicated on trying to win right now. But I think if you're going to go with LeBron, this is the move you have to make. They tried to meld LeBron with the young assets they already had. And I think it's fair to say that last year went poorly. And so this year they basically are going all in with LeBron. And we'll see. I mean, I am a bit skeptical that LeBron and Anthony Davis really fit that well together. I know there's a lot of excitement over the fact that how talented they are and everything kind of surrounding that. But to me, LeBron has always been paired best with guys that get out of the lane and allow him to create, kick it out, open shooters, distribute, have the ball in his hand. And I just really don't see why Anthony Davis, and I know Anthony Davis, a decent spot-up shooter and all those things, but it seems to me that he is not an ideal presence to pair with LeBron James. We'll see, but I'm a bit skeptical until I see all of the shooters. Now, if they get J.J. Redick and several other players of that caliber and bring them in, then I think certainly that fits better. But I'm a bit skeptical right now that LeBron and Anthony Davis, as the team is currently constituted, is a championship team.
That's interesting because I noticed people are already putting them on lists of best teammates ever, you know, putting them up there with Mike and Pippen. I saw them doing that this morning on Get Up. You would hesitate to put them anywhere yet, huh? You want to see them together first. Everybody figures it's going to be great.
They're both very talented players.
Right.
I'm just not sure. When you think of lists of best teammates ever, the way I think about it would be like Steph and Clay, right? Like, I think that Steph Curry and Clay Thompson, the reason they're the Splash Brothers is they fit together, and I think both of them really make each other better. You have lots of individual talent in the NBA, but in terms of best teammates, you know, Pippen and Jordan is a good example, but guys who seem to fit each other really well, and I'm just not sure.
That's
like, for instance, if you told me right now that Klay Thompson was healthy, right? Klay Thompson was going to be healthy, and you said you can have Anthony Davis to pair with LeBron James, or you can have Klay Thompson. Some people may think it's crazy, but I think Klay Thompson would absolutely dominate with LeBron James as his playmaking, sort of power, whatever position you want to classify LeBron as. More so than I think Anthony Davis will. It's possible I'm wrong. It's possible they're going to fit together perfectly.
Yeah.
But I just question, on its surface, having watched both these guys play, I've never seen LeBron or seen Anthony Davis and thought, oh my God, can you imagine if these guys got to play together?
Yeah. The Raptors are obviously NBA champions. I'm more interested, though, in the future of the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, they are marred by injury, but do you think their dynasty and sort of what they've built in their reign of terror, let's just start there, their reign of terror over the NBA, where you're going into every NBA season basically knowing who the champion probably is going to be. Do you think those days are over, Clay?
Yeah, probably so. Now, that could still be, we could have like a one-year sort of pause while we wait. If Kevin Durant signed a five-year extension with Golden State and if Klay Thompson signs a multi-year extension, then I still think, assuming that Durant comes back from his Achilles tendon tear and that Klay Thompson comes back from his anterior cruciate, his ACL injury, then I think that there is still a strong argument that they would be the best team in the NBA. And look, I think if these guys were to have incredible rehabs and be willing to come back before the end of the year, that nobody would want to play the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs if they were all healthy. And let's be honest, I don't know about you guys, but if Durant and Klay Thompson are healthy in the finals, I think the Warriors probably win it in five games, maybe even get a sweep. And that's not a shot against the Raptors for winning the title. Everybody plays the team in front of them. But I think the one quarter that you saw Kevin Durant play against the Raptors, the Warriors are just a different offensive team with him. And it's a credit to how talented they still are without him. But I think if they had had him back for the NBA Finals, I think they would have been able to win the championship probably in five games or less.
Clay, and so is the off-season drama, you know, all that we're talking about right now, is that almost better than the actual on, or at least this past season, the actual on-court stuff? I'm asking you, typically, I mean, you have a guy that's been critical of the NBA. Isn't this off-season and sort of how it flows in the summer league, the free agency stuff, the way they're year-round, isn't that the right way to do it? Don't they have that right?
Well, you need to have teams that can compete for championships. And I think the challenge that the NBA's had for several years in a row now is, and I think this is ultimately the biggest issue, is if you make the NBA playoffs, there's about 12 teams, 13 teams in the past several years that really know they have no chance of actually winning a title.
Yeah.
And that's not true in any other league, right? I mean, there are 16 teams that make the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, and anybody can win it, right? In the NFL, there have been a lot of teams that have made it as a wild card,
sure,
and gone on to win the Super Bowl. And certainly the same thing is true in Major League Baseball. So I think it's a flaw of the sport overall if you have a playoffs and the vast majority of the teams making the playoffs have no chance to actually win a title. So, yeah, the offseason has been more entertaining. I do think that when you look at the odds market right now, it looks more like a normal odds market in the NHL or the NFL or Major League Baseball, where there's no prohibitive favorite. And the Warriors for the past several years have been an insane favorite. And before that, you had LeBron with the Heat, which were a pretty big favorite. So, I think it's much better for the league when there's uncertainty.
Isn't that a super team problem? Is that a super team problem, Clay? You, like you talk about the three of the four that we think are going to win it. Maybe it's a LeBron thing when he's got all the guys. But isn't that, and once that breaks up, maybe you've got more of the parity that you're searching for?
Well, I think part of it's the structural, and I've talked about this a lot. I mean, I think if you told me, Clay, you know, you're in charge of making parity more of an issue in the NBA, mm-hmm, where there's a lot more good teams, and if we get into the playoffs, that we think anybody can win it. I think the way that the salary cap is structured right now creates a significant deterrent when it comes to, first of all, you should be trying to get as many good players on as many different teams as you can.
I'd agree.
And I think the salary cap is structured right now, it doesn't allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant's a perfect example, because when you put a cap on what players can earn, the difference between going to one team and another isn't that substantial. My solution, and I've talked about this and written about it before, would be to allow all 30 NBA teams to pay one player outside of the salary cap. So in theory, the salary cap applies to everyone else, but all 30 NBA teams can pay whatever they want, mm-hmm, for one guy who's outside of the salary cap. So if somebody back in the day had wanted to pay LeBron James $100 million a year, they could have. And Kevin Durant would have been worth more than $30 million a year, and so his salary wouldn't be the same everywhere, right? And that's what I think artificially constrains and leads to somebody like Kevin Durant saying, well, I can make roughly $30 million a year to play for Oklahoma City, or I can make, you know, $30 million playing for the Warriors. If Oklahoma City had been able to offer Kevin Durant $70 million a year, there's no way he would have ever left, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So I think that factors in a big way. Yep. And as a capitalist and as a guy who believes in markets, I'd like to see the top 30 guys in the NBA make as much as they can.
We are, of course, talking to Clay Travis. You can hear him every morning on 790 AM. Joins us every single Tuesday here on this show. Clay, got to ask you, O.J. Simpson is on Twitter. As of right now, he has 716,000 followers. You are one of them. I am one of them. Why do we still, in America in 2019, I mean, every tweet he sends gets unbelievable engagement. Like, he's getting 25,000 replies to every tweet he sends. Why is there still this fascination in 2019 with O.J. Simpson?
Partly, I mean, it is a shared national story. So if you are my age, then you watched the trial, you paid attention to it. If you are of a younger generation, I think O.J. is just kind of this fascinating figure from the past to you who has been brought to life by the popularity of a lot of those shows that came out around the 20th anniversary of the O.J. Simpson trial, whether it was the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary on O.J., whether it was the I think it was FX that did a remake of that of the trial. I think a lot of people who are younger are just kind of fascinated into the window of O.J. Simpson's life. And look, I mean, I think he is infamous, and I think it crosses over into the fame element. And it doesn't surprise me at all that if O.J. is going to start sending out videos, that they would get a great deal of attention. I mean, on Father's Day, he put out a video denying that he is Khloe Kardashian's dad. I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, you know, and again, I think the timing also factors in here. This is the time of year when there is, you guys know, you're doing 3 hours of sports talk radio every day. I'm sure when you walked in today, you're like, man, there's not a ton of stories out there. June and July and early August in general is when I think sports talk radio hosts make their money, because we have to spend a lot of content out of not a lot of lot of goods. And so I think the timing also factors in a big way in the amount of attention that OJ got. But he's a needle mover, right? I mean, you name OJ, there are relatively few people associated with the world of sports where when you say their name, people react in a substantially negative or positive way, right? And OJ still gets that reaction.
Clay, you've been on U.S. women's soccer. You've been on the World Cup. I see you talking about it all the time. Did you see this stat from the Wall Street Journal that from 2016 to 18, their games generated more than the men? So, you know, the argument is, why aren't we paying them equally? It feels like a pretty one-sided argument, like we should be handing them the money. What's up, Clay?
I think the way to look at this is a huge percentage, my understanding of the revenue that comes for the U.S. men and women is from FIFA. And that's for the World Cup. And I think the U.S. Men's World Cup did like $4 billion in revenue and sponsorship and television rights and everything else, which gets redistributed in some way. And
the
I'm not
TV
an expert
rights.
On how FIFA distributes its money.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent number I saw said that the Women's World Cup did $70
million. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not an expert in how these guys get paid and girls get paid.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that FIFA revenue in some way is a part of their overall compensation as well. In terms of local revenue, which is based on, I saw that in the Wall Street Journal this morning, which is based on the attendance and whatnot at local matches, then that's similar. But my bet would be that the men and the women are getting paid similarly for the revenue produced by local matches.
Locally.
But that the reason for discrepancy in pay primarily comes from the amount that Men's World Cup brings in versus the women's. I'd also say this, the men have to be compensated to leave behind what they're doing to make a living.
Right? Higher paying like, jobs,
you know,
I guess.
You're playing in the English Premier League and you're taking on the risk of playing for your national team. That's great, but you're risking millions of dollars in potential future income, whereas the women almost have no jobs other than playing on the Women's World Cup team. So, again, I'm a markets-based guy, so if the dollars are equal – then the pay should be equal, but the number I saw was $4 billion versus $70 million.
When you add the fee.
And it's like, at that point, it's like comparing the WNBA to the NBA.
Mm.
Yeah, and then, Clay, you know, before we let you go, we got to solve a mystery. You were in Omaha over the weekend. Bobby Bones posts a selfie with you in it. Was it just a tough angle, or were you just absolutely hammered during the time that this photo was taken?
I think there was sunlight in my eyes. I had a couple of beers, but I was not drunk. I would admit if I were drunk or if I'd had even a lot of alcohol. But I did get to go to the College World Series. Never been before. Really cool experience. And we had a good time up there for the day, but not that good of a time.
But you do acknowledge that it does look like you're on a bender.
Oh yeah, the picture. I didn't even see the picture. You know, like, 'cause you have to zoom in. To see it up close.
And John's looking closely.
I didn't even notice the picture, you know, when he put it up till I got back home at like, you know, midnight after it had already been up for a while. I think I've told you guys before, I will, you know, like occasionally dive into the mentions and see what is said there. But most of the time I go into the verified tab. And so I didn't even go and check the mentions till I retweeted it and I saw the picture. But I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, it's not like people look at me and think, my God, that guy's gorgeous. I'm not an Instagram model. So it occurs fairly frequently that a picture is taken of me that isn't very flattering.
Does Ja Morant get the Clay Travis superstar stamp of approval? You think Memphis is getting a good one?
Yeah, I loved watching him play at the NCAA tournament. And
absolutely.
Certainly when you consider the degree to which the NBA is often defined by guard play and guys who can get their shot, I think he's a guy who can get his shot, and I think he's a guy who can distribute well. I mean, I think there's a legitimate debate, clearly, about whether he or Zion is going to be the better pro. I mean, Zion is a incredible physical beast of a talent, right? But I'm not sure exactly who you project him to and say he reminds me of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there are a lot of players that you could look at for Ja Morant and say, oh, this guy's got an easier comp, right? Maybe Zion is truly the first of his kind. and there's nobody else that's going to be like him, and he's going to be a seismic superstar. But usually that doesn't happen.
That's difficult to do.
And usually you want somebody who reminds you of. So I think John Morant, if I had to bet on who's going to be an all-star first, I would go with John Morant.
Yeah. Clay, always appreciate the time. Before we get you out of here, how can you help our listeners today?
It's June, busiest month of the year to buy homes. The rates in the mortgages are down under 4%, and you can get pre-qualified in as little as 5 minutes. So why wouldn't you go ahead and do it? Get ready so you can buy the best home, the home of your dreams, the home you'd always hoped to be in that school district for. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. Give them 5 minutes. They'll give you a mortgage. That's thehomeloanexpert.com.
Clay, always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
Yep. He is Clay Travis. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. We'll come back. Jeff Goodman is going to join us. We will talk to him about the NBA draft on Thursday. LaVar Ball, which is the monster that he, I think, feels some responsibility in creating, Jason.
And he should.
He apologized, I think, on Twitter in some form.
Was it genuine?
I think it was genuine, but we'll ask him about it when we come back. Jason and John, out here on FM, ESPN.
Frontier Western Store's world-famous boot showroom is waiting for you. With aisles and aisles of boots in one easy spot, you will find your next favorite pair at Frontier. Everyone loves Ariat boots, and Frontier has over 1,000 pair in that brand alone. Come grab a pair of rugged work boots like the Work Hog, or discover an everyday classic in Ariat's Rambler. Tons of other brands as well: Rocky, Dan Post, Red Wing, Durango, Justin, Twisted X, and many more. Frontier constantly restocks and refreshes their lineup of boots, so you're certain to walk out of the store happy in your new comfortable footwear. They have a wide assortment of sizes available for men, women, and children. Work, dress, or play, Frontier's knowledgeable staff will cheerfully help you find the perfect fit. It's boots galore at Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road, Olive Branch, or on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated, you know it, since 1967.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering, terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Hey guys, time to get ready for summer. Now, if you've done your part at the gym, it's time to let University Plastic Surgery Group help you with that little extra push. It's called Cool Sculpting. You can freeze away the fat with the world's number one non-invasive fat reduction procedure. University Plastic Surgery Group can help you achieve your workout goals because they're going to target the trouble areas. It's a 45 to 60 minute procedure. You can do it on your lunch hour. Keep your edge at work and look good this summer. Call 350-4858 or visit utuniversityplasticsurgeons.com. Today.
With IKEA, you can send your kids off to college with a new Alex desk, setting them up for any scenario. Like when the cafes are full, it'll be their quiet haven. Or after heated debates, it'll be a place to cool down. Or when they don't answer their phone, it's probably just under all those books. Call me.
Get 20% off all desks. Offer valid for IKEA family members in U.S. stores only from June 5th through 23rd. While supplies last. Visit your IKEA store or IKEA-USA.com for details. IKEA, make the dream yours.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture. That's where you know you are always going to save between 50 and 80% off all mattresses and furniture. Every mattress in my crib, it's from Sleepy Z's. Why? Because our man Michael, he's running a hell of an operation over there. He's the best in Memphis. He's been in the business for over 18 years, and you don't last for 18 years unless you're good at what you do. They, of course, are an A-plus rated business with the Better Business Bureau, and they've been voted Memphis' most best mattress store for 4 years in a row by readers of the Commercial Appeal.
It's because Michael's got everything. Sells and specializes in, as a matter of fact, the Serta Perfect Sleeper, the Serta Eye Comfort, all of it. Butarest Silver and Platinum and the Butarest Black Line, too. So you've got everything. It's also got everything when it comes to furniture, not just talking mattresses. And all that good stuff, it's already deeply discounted, 50 to 80% off what it would be at other mattress stores.
You're going to get an extra 10% off when you say you heard it on Jason and John or any one of our fine shows here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Michael wants to help you like that. He wants to help Memphians. Why not pay the best price for it? Go see him. He's at 2790 Kirby Witten Road at the corner of Summer Avenue next to Hollywood Feed. Or you can visit him online. Do all the research you need to over at SleepyZZZS.com. Again, that's SleepyZZZS.com. Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner. Well, you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed, baby.
All right, we're going to be joined here in just a moment by Jeff Goodman, who, of course, covers all levels of basketball for Stadium 2 days out of the NBA draft. We had T. Morant on the show earlier today. It was a very fascinating conversation, of course, the father of John Morant. And he had a very fascinating way of motivation. He said he has many times posted on social media that his son is overrated as a means of motivation.
I'd read that going into the interview, just doing a little bit of homework, that it had been written that his son had said, "Man, my father's my biggest hater." And that was something obviously going to draw you in. What do you mean he's your biggest hater?
Yeah.
But we see there's been a method, a reason for doing that to keep him from being complacent.
No question. And as promised, he is Jeff Goodman. He's a basketball analyst over at Stadium. He's on Twitter at Goodman Hoops. Jeff Goodman, how are you, sir?
Have you guys already put the banner up for the Memphis Tigers this year? Or are you going to wait till the end of the season, or have you already hoisted it?
We did that at the end of May, and now we're moving on to the Grizzlies championship banner with Ja Morant.
Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and the two of you.
It must really pain you to see all the basketball success that the city of Memphis is having right now.
So relevant.
I know. They're going to bring on, like, is there a big three team down in Memphis? They need a big three team.
I think there are teams that have, like, Sean Williams on them, Quintel Woods. Like, there is some Memphis representation in the big three. Big three. Do you have to cover that or something as part of your contract?
Until I learn how to pronounce Chris Douglas Roberts' current name, I probably cannot cover the big three.
First of all, he's not in.
Can you guys do that?
You are so disrespectful.
Supreme
it is unbelievable.
Bay is his name. It's very easy to pronounce, Jeff.
What is it? What is it again?
Supreme Bay.
Supreme Bay. Listen, honestly, I might change my name. Supreme Bay is way cooler than Jeff Goodman. So, you know what? I should be reevaluating.
You should change your name to Chris Douglas Roberts. It's available. You know?
It is available. You're right.
Jeff,
you're right.
You got to tell us which one of these bozos you were subtweeting. You had a tweet earlier today. We talked about it earlier. My favorite things this week of the draft, those who put together mock drafts without talking to a single NBA exec, and then those who were brought on to talk about the draft who don't even watch the NBA. Who you subtweeting, Jeff? Which one of these bozos you subtweeting?
I think Parrish actually talks to one or two. So I was not subtweeting
wow.
Parrish, even though you guys, you probably thought I was. I promise I was not subtweeting Parrish. Maybe one of his cohorts over there named Matt Norlander, who I think he's probably met an NBA guy, but he probably thought he was like a runner. You know, back a few years ago, the first time Norlander ever went to the Peach Jam, he wrote a big column about how there were runners all over the Peach Jam. So the guy who headed up the PTM brought him in the office, and he said, like, Matt, like, we don't really have a ton of runners around here. Can you point them out? Like, if there are, we'd love to know who they are. And Norlander had no idea. Like, I don't even think he knew what a runner was.
Well, clearly not. Clearly not. Man. All right, so we have a lot to get to with you today, Jeff. But first, do you feel some sense of accountability in creating the monster that is LeVar Ball? Oh. And he's not a monster, but, like, he gets put on, you know, on all outlets, you know, constantly. And you were instrumental. And I do think a part of you feels guilty.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
Thanks.
A part of you must feel guilty about what you have created. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, I feel like a horrible human being. Like an absolute horrible human being that – Now, again, I talked to Scott Van Pelt about it off the air yesterday a little bit, and he made me feel a little bit better. He said, listen, if it wasn't you, it was going to be somebody else.
And
he's probably right. I think I sped up the process. The first time I ever interviewed him and the first time I'd ever met him, he was at the Hall of Fame tournament in Springfield, Mass. High school tournament. I think Lonzo was probably a junior at that point, and LaMelo may have been like an eighth grader playing on that team. And I heard this dude screaming, yelling for from the stand. So I went up and interviewed him because I thought he was entertaining. And I gave him the mic halfway through. I said, you don't need me to do this interview. And that was the first time he was ever on ESPN's airwaves. Then I interviewed him a bunch more. And I always felt like, listen, in small doses, which is generally what I dealt with LeVar at that point, he was fine. He was fine in small doses. And then when they sent me to Lithuania for 10 days to deal with that knucklehead, I knew it. I knew it right away that, like, it's too long. This is not going to go well. It's not going to end well. And I have not spoken to him since, and my life is way better for it.
What's that going to look like for the Pelicans? I mean, everybody's talking about who won this deal, right? And a lot of the takes are, well, but it's good for both sides, good for the Lakers right now, good for the Pelicans in the future. Do you feel as good about the Pelicans and what they got and all those players? The picks, yes, that's your future. But do you feel as good about it as everybody else? You like it?
See, I love Lonzo. I love Lonzo, but you better surround him by shooters.
Yep.
Like, the Lakers didn't – now, he's not healthy a lot of his time there, and they didn't put the right pieces around him. And I'm worried that David Griffin is on track to do a similar thing, right? I mean, Drew Holiday, not a great shooter. Obviously, if they draft Jarrett Culver, not a – like, I think they need to draft DeAndre Hunter. You know, 42% three-point shooter in his 2 years at Virginia. He can guard. Yeah, is he going to be a star? No, but he can space the court, which is something that the Drew Holiday, Lonzo Ball, Zion Williamson, they're going to need. You can't put, to me, Jarrett Culver out there with those three. Mm-hmm. You need somebody that's going to space the court. And I think Hunter is ready-made defensively. And, again, is he going to be a star? No, they don't need that, though. They don't. Like, if he's a good number three or four guy,
yeah,
that's fine for this draft at the number four pick.
Yeah. All right. We've kind of been doing this this week. Over under Jeff Goodman on all-star appearances for Memphis Grizzlies point guard Ja Morant. 3.5 is the number.
Oh, over. Over. I'm not even worried about it.
Wow. Over. Like, you don't even take a second to think about it.
No. Ja Morant, listen, Ja Morant is going to be one of the top three or five point guards in the league in 3 to 5 years. And again, part of it is my confidence in Ja Morant because he's got that combination that very few guys have, right? And it starts with speed and burst and gear. That's number one. It then goes to court vision and passing ability and then extends to high character. So find me another guy got that in the NBA. Like, Russell Westbrook does not have that passing ability, that court vision, right? He just doesn't. Mike Conley has the passing ability, has the quickness, but doesn't have that kind of vertical burst. And he's obviously got the character. Like, that, I want the Celtics to get Mike Conley in the worst way. They won't because it just doesn't fit. They're probably not going to give up enough. But, like, I've said it on air here a bunch, he's the anti Kyrie Irving, Mike Conley.
Keep doing that, Jeff. Keep saying it up in Boston. What would you like to give us? I know it. I'm with you. But what would you give us for Mike Conley?
Jaylen Brown and somebody else who's kind of overpaid. The problem is the Celtics don't have a lot.
We agree. Let's get it done.
You got picks, Jeff. You got picks. You want to give us a young player and a pick?
You do that in a heartbeat. If I said right now Jaylen Brown and in the 14 and 20 pick and throw in somebody at semi-Ojale to make the money work, and that doesn't even get the money there because Conley's making, what, 30?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the problem. You got to probably, like, re-sign Horford and put him in the deal or something like that to be able to get the money done. That's fine.
If you're giving me Jaylen Brown, if you're giving me Jaylen Brown and a first-round pick, that's fine. I'll live with it. Hell,
right.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you got Ja. That's the other part of this, Jeff.
Yeah,
that's
like,
why he's such a no-brainer, right?
You have to trade him. The problem is Mike Conley has to be traded Thursday night, in my opinion. You have to.
Or don't you wait until free agency to hope that some of these teams miss out on their top targets and maybe they get a little desperate and willing to give you a little more than maybe folks are at the draft? Do you wait a little bit?
Yeah, just not a lot of teams that need a point guard. Like, the Knicks are one, but the Knicks aren't going Mike Conley if they strike out on, you know, which they're going to strike out on KD, I think, and Kyrie. I think Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. How many teams are in the market for Mike Conley in a standpoint? First of all, they need a point guard. Number two, they're willing to take that contract for a guy who's already, what, 30, 31?
Well, yeah. And the Lakers were the team I had the eye on, but now they've got no assets. And just Kuzma, LeBron, and AD.
You know, that was a team you
That's
hoped
right.
for. Yeah.
We are, of course, talking to Jeff Goodman from Stadium. Follow him on Twitter, at Goodman Hoops. The Tigers have the fourth best odds. They're tied for the fourth best odds, at least at one sports book, to win the national championship, Jeff Goodman. So don't they have to – don't you, as a national college basketball analyst, have to view them as a legitimate national championship contender?
Like, I'm at Caesars right now, and I brought, like, 10 grand, and I'm putting it all down on the Tigers. Like, everything.
There you go.
Everything I got right now. I'm going to put it all down on Penny and the Tigers.
That's a – hey, that's a smart – I mean –
Who else has got two lottery picks, Jeff? Real talk. Two top 10.
Two lottery picks.
Yeah, Precious
and James. Who's the second lottery pick?
Precious Achiuwa,
wow.
top 10, and James Wiseman, number one.
Hey, do you know they have the number one class?
You guys already got the lottery figured out for next year. I'm trying to figure out the draft on Thursday. You guys already got the draft figured out for a year from now.
It's not even us. It's where mock drafts have got Precious. They got him at 9 and 10 for you know, after Wiseman going one. It's crazy, Jeff. You about to be flying to Memphis, brother, to see this team. You realize that. You're coming. You're back.
No, I know I'm coming. Last time I came, we had fun, right? I
that's
mean, we're
right.
up there.
And we were saying,
I mean,
when's
John
the next
Martin
time?
Was, yeah. That's the last time I saw John Martin sober.
Yes, exactly. It's been that long. It's been
right? no,
Tubby
been,
do that to you.
It's been 3 years. That was the only way I was getting through the Tubby Smith era. Jason is exactly right. Jeff, man, you are the best. We know you're busy, so we appreciate
really
the time,
appreciate
as
this,
always, man.
Man.
Thank you.
No, take care, guys. We'll talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Yep, he is Jeff Goodman. Covers all levels of basketball for Stadium. By the way,
I'm going to turn him one day into an advocate.
Yes, we're working on it.
It's a process.
Ultimately, he's a production guy, so I understand he wants to see the wins. We didn't mention this yesterday. We meant to, but now I can tell you. remember the guy that was eating all the mayo at the Redbirds game?
Yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
that was like the. It was a prank. It was fake. It was all.
I knew it.
Was all staged. Yeah. I mean, we
because nobody has the mayo with the handle on it.
Yeah.
Other than the concession
oh.
stand.
And you can't
the industrial
just,
mayo.
You can't warning, smuggle mayo warning, into warning, Redbirds Stadium.
Nope.
You know, like you just can't do that.
Wow. So that was all made up to try to get hype and get pub, I guess.
Yes. Exactly. I'm not mad at the Redbirds.
No,
for
that's
that,
a good,
by the way,
good production there. Well done.
But the people that really fell for that. Y'all look real silly. Y'all look real silly. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Paul. I know what you're thinking. Oh, great, another wireless ad. I know how you feel. And it seems like they're always full of this complicated, tricky language about their networks and offers and blah, blah, blah. Well, Sprint is going to do things differently and let you decide for yourself with their new 100% total satisfaction guarantee. Try it for 30 days, love it, or your money back. See? Simple. Now get both Sprint's unlimited plan and the all-new Samsung Galaxy S10e included for just $35 per month per line for 5 lines. So switch now. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today.
30-day guarantee with new line of service. S10e, 128GB, $15 a month after $16.25 a month credit for 18 months credit applied within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 6:30/20, pay $32 a month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Down home, we don't follow trends, we set them. Church's Bourbon Black Pepper Smokehouse Chicken is back. A half chicken kiss with a bourbon glaze, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit for $5. Sink your teeth in before it's gone. Church's, bringing that down home flavor.
Offer valid at participating locations.
Ready for a change? Join the club. At LA Fitness, we believe showing up is all the initiation you need. Come in and try it out for 5 days on us. Find your nearest location and get a guest pass for you and a friend at LAFitnessMemphis.com.
It's time to say out with AT&T and in with Xfinity. As in with xFi from America's best internet provider, according to speedtest.net. And in with connected and protected devices throughout your home with enhanced network security when you add xFi Advantage. In with internet that stays fast, even when everyone is using it. And in with the best streaming experience on all your screens, so you can watch your favorite live TV and more in all your favorite places. It's out with AT&T. And in with simple, easy, awesome. Now through June 30th, get started with this incredible offer with up to 400 megabits per second download speed and TV for $80 per month for a year with a 1-year agreement. Plus, add xFi Advantage for enhanced network security and unlimited data. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill, paperless billing, and auto pay enrollment. Restrictions apply. New Extreme Pro and Basic TV customers only. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fees, extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, his name is T. Morant. He's the father of Murray State point guard Ja Morant, who will learn his fate on Thursday at the NBA draft. He joins us now. T, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm good.
Man, everything is good. So how has this process been for you all?
Oh, man, it's been surreal. You know, I'm just waiting for somebody to pinch you. Slap me or something to wake me up out of this dream.
Every interview I've seen you done, you're so cool all the time, T. I mean, are you that way leading up to this? Is a little bit of butterflies leading into it?
It's a combination of both.
Okay.
But, you know, I try to stay as even keel as possible for myself and for Ja.
Did you teach Ja that? He's the same way. I've noticed that. Is that something you handed down to him? Is it something he's taken on naturally? What do you think about that?
I think it's more natural than anything, you know, pretty much being himself. And, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong when you're doing that. And his humility is what helps him stay grounded.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As it relates to Ja, what do you think he brings to an NBA franchise?
Wow. I think whoever selects Ja is going to see that they got a hard worker, team first player. And another thing, they'll see somebody who's ready, eager to work in the community, especially with the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, it's gonna be interesting and fun at the same time to see who gets him and to show how he impacts everything about the organization.
You touched on some of this, but when his game, what part of it makes you the most proud? When you're watching him, what gives you the most pride in terms of part of his game that you like watching the most, that you can't help but smiling about?
I like his pass-first mentality.
Yes, sir.
And his basketball IQ, to me, is off the chart, you know, as far as his ability to, you know, dissect defenses physically and mentally and to read his teammates, get them the ball in the right position so they can excel. You know, so, I mean, I'll have to go with IQ. His IQ, his basketball IQ is what's more impressive to me.
How much,
you know, but I like the pure joy that he has out there when his teammates are being successful and they're, you know, competing at a high level.
You can see it on him, and he wears it.
Yeah.
When other guys are doing well, he's celebrating as much as he does when he gets a basket. How much of that, Dad, is God-given? How much of it's the training that you've had him in coming up in terms of that being able to dissect everything, telling a coach, man, here's what we're going to do? How much of that is God-given? How much of that is you?
I think I would probably say is first off, the most important thing is his God-given talent.
Yes, sir.
You know, and as a young kid, you know, we always did film study, you know, especially with his game. I don't care if he had 35 or whatever, we would go back to the house and pop the video in and look at what he did wrong. And I think him being able to accept the constructive criticism as far as his wrongdoing gave him a better understanding to try to correct that, which in turn, I think, helped his IQ out a lot.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
We are, of course, talking to T. Morant. He is the father of Murray State point guard Ja Morant, NBA draft taking place on Thursday. At Murray State, he clearly carried the team. Averaged 10 assists a game, averaged 24 points a game. He made the team and his teammates so much better. Has he always been that way, motivated, not just by obviously getting his own, but making his teammates better? Has that just been him, you know, his whole basketball career?
It's crazy because when Ja was like 7 or 8 playing in church leagues and, you know, starting up with AAU. Ja was always a step ahead, so he would be making passes, but the players wasn't ready for him. So, like, at every level, I'll be like, man, I can't wait to next year when he's playing against, you know. And then it went from that to middle school. Okay, yeah, he's going. They gonna finish in middle school. Then it's okay. I can't wait to get to high school. He gonna finish in high school at Murray State. You know, it's the same thing, but it was better finishers. So it's exciting to see that. Okay, once he gets to this next level, which is the NBA, you know, you got professional finishers. You know, but he was always the one that was, you know, trying to get his teammates involved. Yeah. You know, and I mean, and the thing I like the most about him, he's the type that he does it. He trusts his teammates with everything he got. But then once to get to a crucial period, that's when he'll be like, okay, let me score some, and you know, he can turn it on like that.
Obviously, Ja has visited with the Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm sure that when you're sort of going through this process, you evaluate every team situation, how Ja fits into each, the roster. How do you see a potential fit with the Memphis Grizzlies if that is indeed where Ja ends up?
I really think that the visit with Memphis and hearing their overall dynamic as far as where they're trying to go with the young, speedy talent. I think he would fit in great with them, you know, with Jaren Jackson and the rest of the people on the roster as far as getting up and down the floor, you know, understanding and growing as a young organization to try to turn it around. I like the idea. But like I said, we'll see June 20th.
That's what I had to wonder, Dad, is like, you know, Memphis obviously puts a new coach in place named Taylor Jenkins, and obviously his first job, right, is getting to know y'all, getting to know, you know, at least or the potential guys that he could take, and one of them certainly is your son. I just wonder, as a father, how much do you put that stuff off till Thursday, right, the getting to know the roster, the getting to know the who coach is doing all, do you put that off until you find out and then you dive in, or do you dive in beforehand?
Yes, I think it's more putting it off.
Yeah.
You know, of course, peeking at everything,
sure,
but not studying it till it becomes stressful or whatever.
Yes, sir.
You know, peeking at everything, looking at the pieces in place, and then going from there. But it's not my job to dissect the roster. He's going to be the one playing with whoever selects him. So, you know, it's no pressure at all. You know, it's a great thought that he'll finally be able to fulfill his dream as far as making it to the league. But yeah, just like I told him, and everybody gonna see, it's the work don't stop there.
Yes, sir.
He's gonna continue to work, and you know that's the thing. I'm trying to figure out how to get another chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Dad, we're having on a guest at 12:25 that I think you know, and excuse me if you don't, but Rashad Phillips, who's been on your son for a long, long time in terms of trying to tell the nation that he was the next big thing. Do y'all go back? Do you know that you know he's a draft guru? You know who I'm speaking of with Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I was following a couple of things on Twitter because, you know, I'm not into the social media thing.
Yes, sir.
So Ja finally got me on Twitter. So, you know, I'll be seeing certain things he put on there. But now we wasn't able to communicate or whatever.
Okay.
You know, but it's funny that I sometimes look at, you know, some of the things he predicted and it was, you know, true, you know, so. Yeah. You know, I mean, I respect all basketball minds.
Best game you ever saw your son play, T?
Oh, the best one.
A triple-double versus Marquette,
I want to say the triple-double against Marquette, but then I want to say Alabama. Oh, boy. The best game I saw him play, I don't think nobody else seen him play, and he was probably about 10 or 11, and they was playing in a rec game, and he was missing shots. He was missing shots at the beginning of the game, and, of course, he's a competitor by nature. So it got to the point where he was pouting. So I wasn't coaching. It was almost like some five heartbeat stuff. I wasn't coaching the rec team, but the coach who was coaching, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. So I walked over and was like, hey, I got it. So I took Ja out the game, you know, of course, chastising for crying and all that. And after that, I think he probably knocked down like 7 or 8 threes back to back, and then came back and won the game.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, it was crazy. You know, but yeah, collegiate level, I'll say the triple double was the most impressive, especially with all the assists.
Man, yeah.
As far as getting the team involved.
Yeah, and against those guards too, as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
that was a big time statement. T, do you remember the first time Ja dunked on somebody? Like, were you in the crowd? Do you remember the first time he did that?
Dunked on somebody?
Yeah, dunked on somebody. Yeah.
The crazy thing is, ever since Ja was playing basketball, I think I missed like two or three of his games total. Not being able to see it. Even at Murray, we was gone. So, to answer your question, the first time he dunked on somebody probably was his senior year in high school.
Gotcha. And then I want to ask you about, because it's such an amazing story how he goes, you know, 2 years ago, he's a relative unknown in the college basketball world, and 2 years later, you know, he is, you know, right now by most mock drafts projected to be the number 2 pick in the draft. What was his college recruitment like? You know, like, was there a ton of interest from schools? Like, take us back to his recruitment process in college. How did it all unfold?
It was rough. Well, it was rough for all of us, especially me and my wife. Because seeing Ja put in the work he put in, and seeing every time he's out on the court, he stands out as one of the best. The college recruitment didn't go as I thought it was supposed to, you know, because everybody was posting on social media, glad I got an offer from this spot, glad I got an offer from this spot. Mm-hmm. And not to be arrogant or anything, but Ja was better than most of these kids. You know, so I'm wondering, what are we doing wrong? He's playing in the same circuit, you know, he's putting in the same amount of work, no, if not more, and they were rolling in real slow. So I want to say his last little leg of the tournament, I think he probably got about, I mean, AU season, he probably got about 11. One tournament, he averaged 40. In the tournament, and he got like 11 offers in like one weekend. Yeah, but it was crazy. So my thing was, he was getting down on himself and asking the question, what I got to do, what I'm doing wrong. He questioned himself and all, you know. But then once he stepped foot on Murray, it was like he didn't even care about any other offers, because he fell in love with it. And just like I told him from the beginning, you know, don't go with who you want to be with, go with who wants you.
Yes, sir.
You know, so that's the thing. I see a lot of kids failing at. I don't know whether it's guidance or they just trying to get go to that big name instead of, you know, go where you're going to excel at to the highest, and who believes in you enough to, you know, allow you to be yourself.
You know, the dad, I think a lot of fathers would are curious about your answer to this question, and I am too as one. And I wonder how much of his ascent and this meteoric rise is this. He said that you're his biggest hater, in a sense that, kind of like what you touched on, y'all will go and look at his mistakes, right, before you give him all the credit for all the good he's done. Where's that line, Dad, for me, for all the fathers that are out there, right? You want to push your son, and you have to get him to the best that he can be, but you don't want to overdo it. So for you, naturally, what's the advice to us fathers out here who want to push him, but we don't want to push too hard?
Yeah, you got to find a happy medium as far as that. And I can say that our happy medium was my wife, you know,
as far as, you know,
I would push him hard, you know, and... But I knew when to pull back.
Yes, sir.
So it's the relationship you got with your child, for one. But, like, I had a whole lot of cold beds because of that hard push. You know, why are you always trying to embarrass him? Ain't nobody trying to embarrass him. I just want him to work.
Yes, sir.
How I used to handle it.
Yes, sir.
You know, but, you know, I say you got to build that sense of trust and understanding. And, see, I think he listened to me a lot because he knew I understood the game.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't just making him do crazy stuff just to do it. I was making him do stuff that I feel would help his game out, you know.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, push him to the level where he feels like he's about to break, and I know when to pull back, you know, and give him an attaboy or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But my thing was I hate complacency. And I think a lot of kids sometimes once you get all the credit and hype, you become complacent.
Yes, sir.
And I never wanted him to become complacent, so I never really gave him all the credit that I knew he was looking for. So anytime he'd do something, I was like, "What? You overrated. You ain't did nothing yet." And I would be saying stuff like that, you know, because I know as he keep on rising,
yes,
as
sir.
Far as levels and all, that he's gonna hear that from crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So before they had a chance to say it, I was saying it all the time.
Got you.
You know, I mean, he would post up on social media, and I share it, but I put overrated. You know.
Wow. You called your own son overrated
on Twitter.
Yeah, several times.
Yeah, but it's a method to times. It's a method to it. That's what you're explaining.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I got you.
So he used to be like okay, it was one tournament I remember AAU. When him and Zion and Devontae Shuler were playing on the same team,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what I considered it his first dunk, but they had a little dunk fest. I think Zion had like three or four dunks. Shuler had about two or three. Dude Dakota had about three or four. And Ja had what I considered was a rim grazer. It's like he dunked it, but he didn't dunk it hard. So I called it a hard layup. So we ride in the band back to the hotel, and I was like, fellas, y'all put on a little dunk contest. They were like, I said, y'all had about 11 dunks. So when I started calling out the dunks, I didn't call a job dunk out.
Mm.
So they were like, hold on. What about y'all? Job dunk? I was like, man, that wasn't no dunk. That was a hard layup. And Job was like, that's all he going to do, man. He always going to hate on me. So, you know, it was funny. It was funny. But, you know, I guess that was my motivational factor, because I could never give him the seal of approval.
That is certainly interesting,
man.
For sure. Are y'all already in New York? When do y'all get there?
No, we're already in New York. As a matter of fact, we're at the Tiso watch thing. He's signing autographs.
Okay, y'all are at the Tiso watch thing right now. Dig that. Well, he certainly, you know, we think he's going to be the face of a franchise wherever he goes, for sure. He's got that kind of game to him, no doubt. And, T, we appreciate the time
very
much,
man. Thank you so
much
for this, T.
I appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
good
sir.
Luck.
Here's what 92.9's Jason, John, and Carson are checking out tonight.
Tonight, I've got one for you. ESPNU, 8 p.m. Check out your future Memphis Grizzlies point guard, Ja Morant's Murray State team. It's an older game from December 22nd. They played at number 7 Auburn. Morant had a monster game, 25, 8, and 7. They come up 5 points short. That's an Auburn team that obviously went on to make the Final Four, one of Ja's best games of the season. Go check it out. This dude's going to be a Grizzly. Do your homework.
Cardinals are on a roll. The Cardinals won
beating
last night.
Beating bad teams. I see y'all.
Well, don't,
but,
hey,
you're doing what you're supposed to do.
We're being
so I'm
effective.
Not going to hate on you.
Last night, the Carpenter, the third baseman, he bunted for a double during the game.
Well, why are you turning to John like he's going
to
understand?
Well,
this?
I'm trying
just
educate
to
John.
Right,
I know
here.
He's. Yeah.
I know what a bunt is.
No, but like, you ever seen a bunt double?
Never seen a double.
Double.
How does that happen?
So the team shifted. So they had the third baseman in the middle of the field. They had the shortstop over by the second baseman. They had three dudes on the other side of the base.
Yeah.
And this dude's left-handed, so he's like, I'm going to lay down a bunt. Boom. But so usually what would happen is the guy just go to first. They weren't paying attention. Rounds first, goes to second, double.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Does this mean the Cardinals win the World Series?
it's one step, John,
okay.
towards
their 12th towards, World Series title.
It'd be a massive
Huge.
Waste if you guys have a bunt double and don't win the World Series.
You know what? That's exactly what went through my head last night as he rounded first to go to second, and the pitcher was going all the way out to left field to get this damn ball.
It's amazing.
Congrats on another
win. Also, baseball. Sorry, John.
So much baseball.
College World Series.
You're keeping us up on CWS.
Vanderbilt, your Vanderbilt Commodores,
Vandy boys.
Play the Mississippi State Bulldogs tonight, 6 o'clock. This is the winner's bracket on ESPN and the College
Has
World
Jason
Series.
Adopted Vanderbilt in
no,
honor of Faraji Phillips?
He's given them to me in honor of Faraji Phillips.
I actually am just going to give you Vanderbilt.
So your Vandy team.
Well, because there's a recruitment going on here, guys.
Hey.
Beyond baseball, we have a basketball recruitment, and Vanderbilt is actually involved in it.
It's true.
And you're giving them to Jason. Like Jason.
I totally am
Vandy.
Giving it
well,
to Jason. Give this man
story
credit.
Was mine.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
So
he
I'll
broke
take the
that,
baseball team.
And his
well.
Career, frankly, depends on it.
Listen, I had just joined the show, and I'm sitting here, and he breaks the news that Faraji Phillips is going to Vandy, and I go, I think that's news, and he's like, yeah, that's news. I broke that.
Wow.
Well, that's how we do it here on J&J.
Is that how you talk, Jason? Okay, there you go. So Vandy and Mississippi State tonight in the winner's side of the College World
Series. Sorry, non-baseball fans.
All right. As soon as this show ends, as soon as this is over, we are going to head over to the Lori Walton facility where a selected group of freshmen over at the University of Memphis basketball program are going to be addressing the media for the very first time. Now, we don't know who they are. But I'm very interested
in
this.
Most of them, right?
James Wiseman, Precious Achiuwa, Boogie. I mean, come on, these guys are the hopes and dreams. Let's get them out there. I'm very curious to, you know, listen. They're the number one recruiting class for the first time ever in the history of Memphis. Are they cocky? Are they dialed back? Mm-hmm. Are they taken aback by the attention? Are they cool? Like, what, you know, Will Barton in his first year at Memphis guaranteed a national championship. Is anybody willing to do that today? That's what I want to know.
I would think no.
No?
No, Penny.
You don't think so?
Dude, Penny guarantees national championships.
Nah, he hadn't done that yet.
He will.
No, he won't.
He says we're going to be the fastest team in the country, we're going to be the highest scoring team in the country, and the best defensive team in the country.
Yeah, he has not yet predicted national championship. Will Barton did twice.
He did it twice?
Not just one. He came back the next year and did it.
You can't do it twice. Once you fail on the first
attempt. He didn't do it on the mic, but he did it like afterwards.
You can't double down on that?
No, not the next season, man. You can't just keep predicting a national championship every year and losing in the second round. You know, that's just
set himself up.
You can't do that. But
swag.
Yes. I am very interested in sort of, you know,
don't get to know him.
The attitude, right? The attitude and the disposition of the hopes and dreams of the University of Memphis. I mean, these guys are the key, you know, to the success of next season. They're young.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.